du anokoni genim faro ndini wenyu Blessing Zulu toksia mina Gibbs Dube. Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, June 6th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. There are fears that thousands of people are likely to boycott the forthcoming parliamentary by-elections.
I'm speaking from Blaue now. There is no sign really that there is election next week, and I'm sure there will be serious water apart. I think that will embarrass one here.
Zimbabwe's former finance minister Tendai Biti says the country's economy will continue to slide as long as there's no solution in sight to fix it.
The wheels have come off. ZANU-PF is redefining failure. The economic situation and the economic default which we experience right now is actually worse than even the crisis years of 2008.
And Zimbabwean women have been urged to effectively use social media to boost their businesses. There are fears that thousands of people are likely to boycott the forthcoming parliamentary by-elections in Zimbabwe. Observers say the majority of people are busy trying to eke out a living at a time when most industries have shut down in most cities and towns due to lack of capital to revive them. Bulawayo resident and development activist Tumisani Mpofu tells Studio 7 the situation is worrying ahead of the by-election set to fill parliamentary seats left vacant following the recalling of MTC renewal lawmakers by Moken Tswangirai's MTC.
I think ZANU-PF might fail through, especially in those rural constituencies like Chonocho and even Country Park, which has got a lot of people who come from rural areas. But in those who are those constituencies like Mpopo, which are a bit central, they might face some challenges despite that opposition parties that have the stronghold that did not participate. And I'm sure what we're also going to see is a serious voter apathy, because as I'm speaking from Blaue now, there is no sign really that there is election next week. And I'm sure there will be serious voter apathy. I think that will embarrass one here.
Why do you think there will be some kind of apathy there?
I think people are just fed up because they know that whatever MTC did, it gave ZANU-PF an opportunity to say, we are back, we have won Blawayo. And the way ZANU-PF has structured its campaign content, I think it's also giving people a problem, because ZANU-PF's campaign content indicates that we are what we are because we have not been part of ZANU-PF, which means if you vote for another party, you are considered not part of Zimbabwe. A thing which I think has affected people's appetite to participate in this important democratic process, because it shows that if you don't vote for ZANU, you are considered a non-Zimbabwean, and this is not going down very well with the people.
Now, we are told that ZAPU is actually making some inroads in the city of Kings and Queens. Is that the case?
Yeah, I've seen them. They are the most visible institution. But with the vigor that they were supposed to put, the pressure that they were supposed to put, I think maybe the resource constraints have affected them. If they had been well-resourced and campaigning heavily, like what we used to see with these other opposition parties that were well-resourced, I think they were going to do better. But in terms of visibility, yes, they are more visible than any other institution that is contesting for these elections.
That was Bulawayo resident and development activist Tumisani Mpofu speaking with Studio 7 from Country Park suburb. ZANU-PF Central Committee member David Ndlovu says polling numbers don't matter in this election.
If people don't want ZANU-PF, they will not vote for ZANU-PF. If they don't vote, they will be supporting ZANU-PF. The numbers actually do not matter, because that's why we said majority rule. So the majority, the part which comes with the majority of votes will actually take the seats. So that is the concept. How do you know that those who are not voting will not be supporting ZANU-PF? Well, some people be supporting ZANU-PF but not going to vote. They are party activists and non-party activists who are sympathetic to ZANU-PF. Those who will not be going to vote, who say they belong to the opposition? They are Zimbabweans who have decided not to vote. Those who belong to ZANU-PF will go and vote. Those who belong to other parties will go and vote for their parties. Some parties did not register to vote because they knew that they were going to lose. So why should we not go to elections just because another party says it's not going to elections? Then we stop going to elections. We fought for one vote, one man, one vote, and that is what we are implementing. And that is what we are going to do on the 26th.
If somebody gets 1,000 votes and wins in a constituency where about 25,000 people are supposed to vote, can you say that's a clean win?
You see, the constitution doesn't give us numbers. The constitution simply says a person with majority of votes wins an election. But where the constitution says where there are certain numbers, as in 2008, there is going to be a rerun, then there's going to be a rerun. But where the constitution is silent, what could be done? The elections are done in terms of our constitution, and the constitution says whosoever wins is the person who obtains the majority vote. So those people who are boycotting the elections know that if they don't go and vote for other parties or their preferred candidates, the party which is going to contest the elections is going to win. The only way of stopping that party from winning is to participate in the elections and not boycotting. Because if you boycott, people will make decisions for you on your behalf, whether that decision is composed of 40%, 50%, but they will make the decisions on your behalf. If you don't want people to make decisions on your behalf, participate. That is the main issue.
That was David Ndlovu, a ZANU-PF Central Committee member, speaking with Studio 7 from Maswengo. MTC formations are boycotting the by-elections, saying there is need for electoral reforms before they participate in any elections in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe's former finance minister, Dinai Biti, says the country's economy will continue to slide as long as there is no solution in sight to fix it. The economy has been declining fast following the 2013 general elections, won by President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party. Indications are that the economy lacks support from the international community, while businesses are failing to access cheap capital. Biti tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that this is worsened by Mr. Mugabe's ability to direct some of his ministers, like Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, to do what he wants.
The wheels have come off. ZANU-PF is redefining failure. The economic situation and the economic default which we experience right now is actually worse than even the crisis years of 2008. Whereas hyperinflation is a crisis of overaccumulation. People have got a lot of money that is chasing too few goods. We were all trillionaires, but we couldn't buy anything. Now, in a recession period, we don't have money. None of us is even a dollar. If you pass through gas stations, people are putting, with big Mercedes-Benz, they are putting $2 in their huge fancy cars. So that's the opposite of hyperinflation. And the bottom line is that ZANU-PF is clueless and doesn't have the desire of dealing with this. Because of what is happening inside ZANU-PF and the lack of leadership, this time around, we could go all the way to 2023 if something is not done. So the chickens have come home to roost. ZANU are failure, which is why some of us are saying, waiting for elections in 2018, people would have died. We need a national technical transitional council to run this government, because the likes of Chinamasa and so forth are clueless and illiterate.
And do you sympathize with Mr. Chinamasa? Because we recall that during the tenure of the government of national unity, he used to accuse you of sabotage, saying you were not keen to increase salaries for civil servants.
The reality has hit him like a brick wall. He fully understands what needs to be done, but he can't do it. And the difference between me and him is that I'm not a coward. He's a coward. He can't stand up to Mugabe. The 1 minute that he tried to do something, Mugabe stepped down on him and on independence, told him that you are not going to cut employees a bonus.
That was former Finance Minister Tendai Biti speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. But senior ZANU-PF member David Ndlovu says this is cheap politicking.
Now, unfortunately, you are saying Mr. Biti is saying the president is intimidating. How does Mr. Biti know that the president is intimidating when it doesn't actually come from the horse's mouth? That intimidation should come from Comrade Chinamasa himself.
So, in a way, do people actually fear the president?
Well, people respect the president. There may be people who fear the president, but then people, we can't tell people that you must fear the president, you must respect, you mustn't fear the president. If you decide to fear the president, that is your own choice. it should decide to respect the president. That is your choice. There are other people who don't even respect the president. That is their own choice.
So in ZANU-PF, the thing is it sort of like you do what you want? You can either respect him or you can do other things, like, you know, say, no, Mr. President,
ZANU-PF, we tend to respect. What I know is that we tend to respect our constitution. No one is above the constitution. Even the president is not above the constitution. The constitution of the party actually decides what must be done.
That was senior ZANU-PF member David Ndlovu speaking with Studio 7 from Masvingo Province.
Studio 7 wants to hear from you. What issues matter to you? What's happening in your community? Tell us about it in your own voice using WhatsApp. Simply speak into the phone and record your message, starting with your name and your location and then your message. You can even greet your family and friends. Send your messages to our WhatsApp. Get ready for the number. It's +1 202 465 0318. That number again is +1 202 465 0318. Send us your audio messages right now.
Former Saturn mine workers and their families near Mutorashanga in Mashonaland and West Region are now living from hand to mouth following the closure of the mine in 2009. They never got their benefits from their employer. Our correspondent Arthur Chikoriwa has more details from the provincial capital.
Most of them now survive on peace jobs in surrounding farms and gold mines run by indigenous business people in the Mapinga area. To make matters worse, the retrained workers are still paying their former employer, Zimbabwe Alloys.
When the company collapsed, it forced us to terminate our contract forms. So from there, when they dismissed us, they promised to offer a package of almost 3,000 to 4,000.
Piri says it is very difficult to make a living in a poverty-stricken mine compound where they are staying because most people have no money. Although Piri is surviving on peace jobs, he is sometimes not paid by his employer due to financial difficulties.
For this moment, I'm not getting any source of income. I'm just doing some peace jobs. But those peace jobs, they're not paying me the expecting amount and I aim. Because sometimes the people I do the peace jobs for, they promise me maybe for you wait for 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Another former chrome miner, Langton Nyakwenda, who is now doing all sorts of odd jobs to make a living, says their problems emanate from what he calls an unworkable black empowerment program, which compels foreign-owned businesses to transfer majority stakes to local people.
The system they use, that if an investor comes, he's supposed to cater for all the credits of the company that were accumulated during the time it was running. Like, even our monies, the investor is supposed to pay us some monies. So I think, simple logic, if you look at it, I'm coming to invest the monies, and I'm supposed to pay someone who didn't work for me. The moment I get away from that place, I won't come back.
Nyakwenda adds that the closure of the mine and the non-payment of terminal benefits has impacted negatively on the education of their children. He says very few local people can now afford to pay school fees for their children. Nyakwenda believes that their situation has been worsened by politicians who once told them to stop paying school fees and then made a U-turn soon after the 2013 general elections.
The politician once came during the campaign and told people not to pay school fees. So after winning their campaigns, they came back to reverse the statement. But now it was something in the heads of the parents that it was said, even if you don't pay school fees, the child is not supposed to be sent back.
Mashonaland West Affirmative Action Group official Clifford Kupeko says the government should create an enabling environment for the mining companies, which normally support thousands of families in Zimbabwe.
If you look at the rate at which these companies are closing, it doesn't help, to be very honest. And the reason being that there is really need for foreign direct investment, but the environment has to be created by the leadership.
He says the government needs to probe the closure of the mine as there are some indications that it shut down due to corruption.
They are not saying the truth. They are just promising out them. When things get settled, we are going to pay up your monies.
Zimbabwe Alloys representative at the mine, Christopher Wataza, says his company will pay the benefits of former workers once it gets money from their creditors. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Thanks very much, Arthur, in Chinoy there. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye. Today we have the pleasure of speaking to Nyaradzo Vicky Mavindidze, the founder of Queen Makers Trust, a Harare-based non-profit which seeks to empower and inspire women. Ms. Mavindidze will take us through some of the pointers of what women need to do in order to create their own personal brand, especially in the advent of social media.
Personal branding is the art of shaping public perception. You actually define yourself and how you want the public to perceive you and to see you, how you want to be treated, the results and the benefits that you want to receive thereof. So we are saying that people should be intentional about their lives. You just don't live your life and do things for the sake of doing things. Everything that you do, the way you dress, the way you speak, the way you walk, the way you communicate on social media and in any arena, should be part of building your powerful, lasting personal brand.
Why is it important for women to be consistent when they are actually creating a brand for themselves?
What we are saying to professionals is know your brand and speak it out and shout it loud on social media and be consistent. Personal branding is also about consistency. You can't say something today and they say something else tomorrow. You can't do something today and do something else tomorrow. You can't stand up and say, be posting Bible scriptures and saying, oh, I'm a Christian, follow my God. And then the next day, you're posting pictures of you stripping and drunk and doing the other things that are the opposite of the message that you're preaching the day before. So whatever it is that you have to do as a professional, you have to realize that it reflects on your brand. Right now, in the global village, someone wants to give you business, someone wants to do work with you, they go through your social media profile. They look up on the internet, they Google you.
What methods can they use to make sure that that brand is continually recognized and respected?
I would urge every woman out there to first find themselves and to love who they find in that journey of finding themselves. When they love that person that they find, they must bring out that person in the most powerful way. Women must now begin to be authentic and true to their personal truths. When I talk about personal truths, I'm saying you mustn't be confined by religion, by society, by culture, if it is not in line with your personal truth, with your personal definition of the values that you uphold. A lot of the times women conform to other people's values and they never find themselves and they never live out their true potential. But when a woman finds themselves and loves themselves and they bring out that person in the way they speak, they communicate, their career and everything that they do, they begin to live out their personal truth. It just says an aside about the power of branding and being consistent. I was involved in a very bad accident and my car was a write-off. I got into my bed at 5, but I dressed up and I showed up and nobody knew that's what had happened. Because when you're a brand, you don't package Coca-Cola in a Tarino bottle because something has happened to the Coca-Cola bottles in the factory. Yes, we just do it and then we'll sort out the nonsense later. Now I'm at home, I'm resting and I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do? But life goes on.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Ms. Nyaradzo Vicky Mavindidze, the founder of Queen Makers Trust, a Harare-based non-profit which seeks to inspire and empower women, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye. Now to recap today's top stories. There are fears that thousands of Zimbabweans are likely to boycott the forthcoming parliamentary by-elections. And Zimbabwe's former finance minister, Tendai Biti, says the country's economy will continue to slide as long as there is no solution in sight to fix it. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C. Have a very, very lovely weekend.